Ezekiel chapter 24, and I'm just going to read a few verses for you here. I'm going to read verses 15 through 18. Ezekiel 24, verses 15 through 18. The Bible says this, "Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded." And as we read this particular passage, I want to show you some things from this. Let me give you real quick some background on Ezekiel. In the year 606 BC, the Babylonians began the first of several deportations of the Jews. Daniel was in this group. In the second group, in 597, was young Ezekiel, about 25 years old. He was taken to Tel Aviv near the ship canal of Chebar. There he lived in his own house with his beloved wife. 5 years after Ezekiel came to Tel Aviv, he was called to be a prophet of God when he was 30 years old. This was 6 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. So while Jeremiah was ministering to the people back home, Ezekiel was preaching to the Jews of the captivity in Babylon. And like Jeremiah, Ezekiel was a priest called to be a prophet. And I'm sure as Ezekiel was being accustomed to the new place where he was dwelling, even though he was in captivity, he had his own house and he was kind of settled into a new routine. But you know what? God showed up and interrupted Ezekiel's plans, okay? And God showed up and said, "Ezekiel, I know you're here. I know that you are still a priest, but I have something greater I want you to do." And you know what? Aren't you thankful that God cares enough about us to show up and interrupt our lives and the things that we think we want for our lives and call us to some greater areas of service for Him? And that's exactly what God did with Ezekiel here. I mean, hey, you say, "Well, I don't know that I want God to take me out of my comfort zone like this." Hey, aren't you glad that Pastor Robert Ross allowed God to take him out of his comfort zone? Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Hey, we're reaping the rewards of that today. And you know what? If everybody just did everything that was comfortable and didn't want God to interrupt their lives, a whole lot of great things would never happen for God. And you know what? That's what happened with Ezekiel here. God showed up and interrupted his life and said, "Ezekiel, I got something greater I want you to do." You see, God had an unusual plan for Ezekiel. Ezekiel's ministry was to minister to those in captivity and to try to get Israel to realize some things. And you know what? As we read on, and we don't have time to look at all this, I'll kind of reference some of this morning. But you know, God asked Ezekiel to do some pretty strange and bizarre things. I mean, some things that he really hadn't commanded anybody else to do before. But yet it was his will for Ezekiel to accomplish some amazing things. One of those things that God allowed to happen, and that's the passage I read, was that God allowed Ezekiel's wife to die. God allowed that. Notice what it said. It said, verse 16 that we read, "Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke." Now, could you imagine God showing up and saying, "You know what? You're my man, you're my prophet, and I'm going to allow your wife to die." Okay, now not only that, but notice God's next command for Ezekiel. Notice what he says at the end of verse 16. "Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall tears run down." What in the world? I mean, could you imagine God showing up and giving you that command? Most people couldn't handle something like that. I don't even know if I could handle something like that. But you know what? That was the command for Ezekiel. But you know what I noticed here and what I like about Ezekiel, after God commanded all these things, look at verse 18. "So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died." And look at this last phrase. And this is what I really want to kind of talk about this morning. Notice what it says here. It says this, "And I did in the morning as I was commanded." And that, when I read that, that just, God smote my heart. Here was one of God's men who was doing God's work. And God come along and said, "Ezekiel, I'm going to take from you the most precious thing you have. I'm going to take your wife away, and I don't want you to cry. I don't want you to mourn. I want you to act like nothing is wrong." And you know what? Ezekiel, he didn't have a meltdown. He didn't, you know, find a corner and whine and bemoan himself. You know what he did? He did what he said right here. And the more I did as I was commanded. I can't believe that. When I read that, the Lord just showed me some things. And so, to me, the important thing that God showed me was the fact that one of his greatest expectations for his children is obedience. It's one of his greatest expectations, okay? And I'm just going to kind of take the Sunday school hour this morning and just talk about this, about God expecting his children to obey, all right? Now, I want you to notice some things here, because God did some things in Ezekiel's life to prepare him for this moment, okay? This wasn't just a random act that God just showed up and said this. God showed him some things. First of all, I want you to notice this. God showed Ezekiel why it was worth obeying. Okay, look, if you will, back in verse 1. Notice what it says here, verse 1 of chapter 24. Again, in the ninth year, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, all right, so God showed up and said, Ezekiel, I want to show you some things here, okay? And what we find as we look at Ezekiel's life, you know what? When God showed up and showed him some things, God showed him why it was worth obeying. You know what we find? We find that God showed up in a fiery whirlwind. And God showed Ezekiel himself. He revealed to himself in a fiery whirlwind. We find that God revealed himself to Ezekiel, and the Bible says, in those visions of those cherubs that came. God revealed himself, and it sounds kind of bizarre. We don't really even know what it means, but it talks about these great wheels that were spinning. And you say, well, what is that? Well, it was some type of heavenly vision, some type of something miraculous and wonderful that God allowed Ezekiel to experience. The Bible says, that God showed Ezekiel the firmament. God showed Ezekiel the rainbow. Now, all these things were for a purpose. All these things were for a reason. And I believe God, before he commanded Ezekiel to do all these crazy, bizarre things, one of which was to not mourn for his wife when she died, was that God showed up and said, Ezekiel, let me show you why it's worth obeying me. I'm going to give you a vision of something, of what's to come. And if you will stick in there and you'll do what I want you to do, I just want you to see how great and how mighty and how wonderful I am. And let me give you some reasons why you should obey. And God showed Ezekiel things that hardly no one had ever seen up to that point. You know why? Because I believe God was preparing him for this time of obedience, okay? And you know what? Let me say this. God is also trying to prepare us for times of obedience. Okay? I mean, I wish I could stand here this morning and say everything God commands is easy to do. Because you know what? Some things are, but some things aren't. Okay? And God may show up and say, you know what? I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to totally rock your world. What's your attitude going to be toward that? Are you going to simply obey? Are you going to do as Ezekiel did and did as I was commanded? Even though it's hard, even though it goes against every part of your human psyche, you're like, God, that's not even normal. Why would you want me to do something like that? But you know what? God, I believe, shows us why in his word it's worth obeying. Okay? Let me tell you why it's worth obeying. You know why it's worth obeying? Because of verses like this, all right? 1 Corinthians 2:9, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Let me tell you, when God comes along and he asks you to do some things, you know what? You got to get beyond thinking of the temporal. You got to start thinking of what's to come. You got to start thinking of the eternal. Let me say this, Christian. You know what? I promise you, no matter what God asks us to go through, no matter what type of trial, no matter what kind of circumstance, I promise you it's true. One of these days, if you obey, you'll be glad you did. I promise you that's true. You know why? Because we're not living for the here and now. We're not living for the temporal. And to try to get people to understand that, it's so hard to do. Because we're so focused on the here and now. We're so focused on this life that we forget, you know what? We're living for then. We're not living for now. And you know what? The things that God would ask us to go through, you say, well, they're difficult. They're hard. I know, but God's trying to accomplish something. God's trying to get his work done. God's trying to do something great and mighty. And even though we don't understand it, you know what we've got to do? We must choose to obey. And I just promise you this, you know what? It's worth obeying the Lord over, okay? And God showed up and showed Ezekiel why it was worth obeying. Not only that, not only did God show him why it was worth obeying, God equipped him with the means to obey. Okay, and once again, like I said, God just didn't show up and randomly say, Ezekiel, do all this crazy stuff. No, he said, you know what? I'm going to show you why it's worth obeying. Now I'm going to equip you to obey. Let me show you this. Flip over to Ezekiel chapter 2 real quick. Ezekiel chapter 2. Notice what happens to Ezekiel in this chapter. By the way, it's kind of a... This message is really kind of an overview of kind of the whole life of Ezekiel and what God used him to accomplish. And I know there's way more to it than this, but I'm trying to focus on this one main thing here. Ezekiel chapter 2, look what it says in verse 1 and 2. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And notice here, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set upon my feet that I heard him that spake unto me. You know what happened here with Ezekiel? You know what God did? God equipped him with the means to obey by filling him with the Holy Spirit of God. Now you got to remember something. Back in the Old Testament days, it wasn't like today. Okay? If we're saved today, God indwells us. That's part of salvation. The Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells every believer. That wasn't the way it was in the Old Testament. Okay? God did not indwell believers in the Old Testament. All right? The Spirit of God came upon them randomly. Okay? And it was an unusual, it was a unique thing. If God gave you his Spirit back in the Old Testament, that meant his favor was upon you. Okay? I mean, just remember the stories of Samson and how that the Spirit of God would come upon him and he would do these great and mighty acts. Okay? And so God said, Ezekiel, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Okay? I'm going to equip you with the means to obey. I'm going to give you my Spirit. Let me just say this, Christian, okay? If we are going to be able to obey and walk in the way of the Lord in the day and age we're living, and by the way, I promise you this, Christian, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. It is coming. It is here already. I mean, when Brother Miller comes next Sunday, I kind of know a little bit of what he's going to talk about. Some of the things that they're trying to do to strike down the stand of Christians against perversion. I mean, I'm telling you, it is an all-out war against Christians. It is coming, folks. And the thing is, how in the world can we still obey God, still accomplish the work of God through those types of circumstances? You know how we're going to have to do it? We must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Now, I know he lives inside of us, but just because he lives there doesn't mean we're filled with him. Amen? Now, remember something. I don't have time to get into all this. But being filled with the Spirit is not a matter of you getting more of him. It's a matter of him having more control of us. Amen? Okay, the Holy Spirit's not like a liquid. It's not like a gas. It's not something you get more of. He's in there. It's just a matter of not whether we allow him to control us. That's why the Bible says verses like this in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And listen to me, Christian. Get this. Understand this. You cannot do a supernatural work without a supernatural power. Impossible. You cannot do a supernatural work without a supernatural power. I mean, you know, the things God's asked us to be involved in as far as this whole thing about trying to reach people, trying to influence people, you do realize that's a spiritual work, okay? I mean, I can't make anybody do anything. As I'm out there knocking on doors and trying to talk to people, and as we're going to be out trying to get this new church off the ground, and listen, I can't make anybody come. I can't make anybody do anything. But you know what? I do know someone who has the power to work on their heart. Okay? I do know that. And you know what? I've got to be able to, as a Christian, to tap into that supernatural power so God can use me to do a supernatural work. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I've tried to do the work of God without trying to do a supernatural work without supernatural power. Let me just say this. It doesn't work. Okay? I mean, there's an emptiness to it. There's just it's kind of like what it talks about there in 1 Corinthians about when you're trying to do all the works without love. It's just as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I mean, God's just not in it. I've done that a few times to my shame. Listen, I don't want to do the work of God like that. If I'm going to be involved in this thing, if I'm going to give my life to this thing, I want it to matter. I want it to count. And the only way for it to do that is to have supernatural power. You say, well, what do you mean supernatural? It means being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Just like God equipped Ezekiel to do what he commanded him to do, if we're going to do what God commands us to do, listen to me, Christian, we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Whatever he commands you to do this year, Okay? Whatever direction he's leading you in, whatever the obedience he wants from you, listen, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're not going to be able to do that to your fullest ability. Okay? So God gave him the wherewithal to obey by giving him the Holy Spirit. Not only that, I thought this interesting. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Ezekiel. God gave him something else. God gave him the Holy Spirit. Man, I like this. God gave him, now don't mistake what I'm going to say here, but God gave him a hardness. Now, I don't mean a hardness of heart. I mean a hardness, a willingness to stand. Notice what happened here. Verse 7, Ezekiel chapter 3. Notice what it says. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. I mean, could you imagine that? God says, okay, I want you to do this, but guess what? No one's going to listen to you. I mean, how discouraging would that be? Hey, God told him that before he even started. I tell you what, Ezekiel, I'm going to call you to this great work, but you know what? It's not going to do any good. No one's going to listen. I mean, who in the right mind would say, okay, God, I'll go ahead and do that anyway, okay? But notice what else it says. For they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Kind of like sounds like a lot of people in America. Impudent, hard-hearted. Verse 8, behold, notice this. I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. So not only did God give him the Spirit, equip him to obey with the Spirit of God, he equipped him with hardness. Let me just say this, Christian, okay? We may have a lot of hardness going on, but it's not the type of hardness Ezekiel had. Unfortunately, it's hardness of heart, okay? That's not the type of hardness God wants us to have. But what he's talking about here, he's talking about a willingness, a hardness to be able to stand and stand for God no matter the cost. That's what he's talking about here, okay? And listen, when it comes to obeying God, as Christians, we need to have a hardness about us. We need to be able to have a backbone. We need to be able to stand. I mean, listen, that's why the Bible says verses like this, 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We got a bunch of stinking spiritual wimps today in the church of Jesus Christ. I mean, everybody gets offended over everything. I mean, you know what that is? That's not having hardness. Okay? I mean, listen, if you're going to do the work of God, especially as a man of God, and men, even as a leader of your home, if you're going to lead your home right, let me tell you what you got to have. You got to have some hardness about you. Okay, you got to be willing to make hard decisions and do hard things. Okay? It's not always easy. It's not always popular. Okay? I mean, if you're going to lead your family the way you ought to lead them, you think that's going to be popular in this society? You think that's going to be popular with your lost family or your backslidden family members? That stuff's not going to be easy. But if you're going to stand for God, you've got to have a hardness about you. That's what I liked about our pastor here and about Pastor Ross Sr. I mean, there's so many things now that I'm older that I look back, and I didn't even realize I was learning those things, but I've looked back now on the things that he taught me. You know, one of the things I like, I have respect for about our pastor and about Pastor Ross Sr., you know what? They had a hardness about it. Hey, you know what? I've seen Pastor Ross Sr. get up and say things to people that most people would never say. I've seen him get up and even after maybe something's happened that shouldn't have happened, get up and not be afraid to address that. I've seen him get up and people who was getting ready to get on the platform and sing who weren't dressed appropriately go to them right before they sang and say, you're not getting on the platform and sing and dress like that. You know what that takes to do that? That takes a hardness. And that's not, I'm not talking about hard-hearted. I'm not talking about mean-spirited. But I'm talking about willing to do whatever it is God has asked us to do. It takes a hardness to do that. And you know what? God gave that to Ezekiel. God gave him that. Let me just say this, Christian. If we're going to stand in this day and age we're living in, if we're going to be productive for the Lord in 2016, you better have a hardness about you. You better have, and I'm not talking about a hardness of heart. I'm talking about a backbone. I'm talking about willing to stand. Have that hardness, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's why it's important that, you know what, as men, we train our young men to learn to be that way. Okay, I mean, train our young men to be hard. I mean, our society, and we've seen it, we see what's happening. I mean, the whole role reversal thing. I mean, our society is trying to take our young men and feminize them. Okay, listen, young men don't need to be feminized. They need to taught how to endure hardness. Okay, I'm not. Once again, I'm not talking about being cruel and mean. I'm not talking about abuse. But I'm talking about training young men to be able to stand and endure hard things. Because you know what? That's what men are supposed to do. Okay? And so God equipped Ezekiel with hardness. So you know what? God's greatest expectation for Ezekiel was obedience. So first of all, we saw that God showed him why it was worth obeying. God gave him a glimpse of the eternal and said, Ezekiel, let me show you why I'm going to ask you to do some hard things. This is why. Not only that, God equipped him with the power to obey. He equipped him with the spirit. He equipped him with hardness. Next, we see this. God gave him the choice to obey. And by the way, let me just say this. You know what? When it comes down to serving God, it always comes down to a choice. Always comes down to a choice. Okay, chapter 2 of Ezekiel. You can flip over there if you want to. If not, just listen as I read. Verses 8, starting in verse 8. Notice what he says here. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within without. And there were written there in lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, go speak unto the house of Israel. And what God is saying here, God has showed him, I've laid this out for you. And I'm showing you, Ezekiel, it's not going to be easy. I'm showing you, you're going to face some hard things. I've not called you to do something that most people can handle, Ezekiel, but I've laid it out before you. So notice Ezekiel's response in verse 2. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat the roll. You know what happened here? Ezekiel had a choice to make. God showed up and laid it out and said, Ezekiel, here's some things. I'm going to show you some things. I want you to do some things for me. But when it comes down to it, Ezekiel, you've got to open your mouth and choose to eat it. And you know what? When it comes to obedience, Christians, you know what? God will not make us do anything. He won't make us. He gave us that free will. I mean, hey, God had filled Ezekiel for the task. God had already showed him why he wanted him to do the task. But when it came down to it, Ezekiel had to choose to do what God asked him to do. He had to choose to obey. All right? And listen, as a Christian, you know what? We must make that choice. I mean, God wants us to choose to want to obey him. God wants that choice made in our lives. And when it comes down to it, you know what? We've all got to decide, don't we? We've all got to make a choice. By the way, people decide every single day. That's why there's certain people here this morning and certain people aren't here this morning. You know why? They made a choice. Okay? And even though God, you've heard preachers say this, God won't make us choose, okay? He won't make us choose him, but he won't allow us to choose the consequences of our choices either. We got to understand something. Every decision we make, that there's a consequence attached to that. And even though God won't make us do it, but the consequence that's attached to it, we don't get to choose what that's going to be. That's already pre-decided, all right? So that's what I like about Ezekiel. Ezekiel knowing all this, but yet he still had to make a choice. And you know what? So will you, so will I. Hey, guess what? 2016, I think God's going to put us in the place where we're going to have to make some hard choices. I believe that. I'm not trying to be a doomsday guy. I'm not trying to be, it's all about, doom and glum and all that stuff. Okay, but I will say this. I know about God. I believe this. Okay, here's what I believe. I believe there's coming a point in time very soon where you can no longer be neutral. By the way, I think it's kind of that way now. But you know what? You're going to have to just flat out decide. There's no hiding the shadows anymore. There's no, maybe I'm this way when I'm this with people. Maybe I'm this way with those people. Uh-uh. Ain't the way it's going to be. You've got to come out and decide what side you're going to be on. Kind of like, remember what Joshua said to the people? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Okay, listen, as Christians, we got to decide. So you know what? We're going to decide whether or not we're going to obey. Not only that, we find this. God put Ezekiel's obedience to the test. Okay? Chapter 3. We'll look there real quick. Chapter 3. Now, I don't have time to read all of this, but when I told you that God commanded Ezekiel to do some crazy things, I'm just going to kind of show you here. All right, God put his obedience to the test. Chapter 3, verse 22. Notice what it says. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there. Once again, did you see how God is showing Ezekiel? I'm showing you my glory. I'm showing you once again why it's worth obeying. Okay? And it says, as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit, see that again? There's the ingredient. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said, notice here, go shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, and they shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be, and thou shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. Okay, so you know what God said? Okay, Ezekiel, you signed up for it. I want to give you some encouragement real quick, but here comes the obedience part. And he starts commanding him to do all these bizarre things. Go to your house, shut yourself up in it. You know what? They're going to come. They're going to put chains on you. I'm not going to allow you to talk. I'm going to cause your tongue to seize up. By the way, God's not done there. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 4, and once again, we don't have time to read all this, but if you read verses 1 through 8, you know what God commanded him to do? He commanded him to lay on his left side for 390 days and on his right side for 40 days. Now, I'm sure it wasn't 24 hours a day, but you know what Ezekiel's job was for 390 days? For almost 4 years? You know what it was? For 13 months, for a year and a month, it was for him to lay on his left side. Now, what kind of command is that? Okay? And then, lay on your right side. By the way, all those things meant something. Okay? They were a symbol to Israel. They were a picture of Israel. By the way, here's something else God told him to do. He says, what I want you to do is, while you're there doing that, when you cook your food, I want you to cook your food in the sight of the people with animal dung. Okay, now, I don't know about you, but if I had to cook with that, by the way, that was kind of used as a fuel back then, okay? But if I was to cook my food, how appetizing would that be? Okay, I mean, like I said, these are kind of some weird, bizarre things God has commanded Ezekiel to do. But you know what? What I like about Ezekiel, he obeyed. He obeyed. And that's exactly what he did here. And God put his obedience to the test. Let me say this, Christian. You know what God's doing with us today? God wants to put our obedience to the test. Now, God's not going to come to us and say, lay on your side for 390 days, your left side. Lay on your right side for 40 days. Go cook your food with animal dung. Okay? He's not going to command us to do that today. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't give us commands to do today. Now, we got to choose whether or not we're going to do them. Okay? I mean, listen, God has commanded us to do certain things, and God wants to put our obedience to the test, just like he did with Ezekiel here. All right? And God wants to know if we're willing to obey. Here's what I found out. A lot of people talk the talk. Okay? Talk's cheap. Anybody can talk it. It's another thing whether or not we choose to live it. And that's what God's interested in. Okay? God wants to see whether or not if we're all talk or if we'll be willing to obey. And last of all, and this is the part that God really kind of dug in my heart about was this. God demands obedience above understanding. Okay? God demands or wants obedience above understanding. Now, I wish everything that happened to us in life we could understand because it'd make us easier for it to go through. But you know what? That's not the way God works. God doesn't come and explain to us, okay, this is what's going to happen. Let me tell you why I'm going to do all this. And so then I want you to choose whether or not you're going to go through it. No, that's not the way it works. God shows up, interrupts our lives, and say, do this. You say, well, why, God? Do this. Well, God, I don't understand. Do this. And that, listen to me, God demands obedience above understanding. That's what we find happen in Ezekiel's life. I mean, could you imagine? That takes us back to where we started at with this whole thing God asked him, told him his wife was going to die. I mean, why? I guarantee you Ezekiel didn't understand that. I mean, could you imagine? Here you're doing all these bizarre things for God. God, I'm making myself a fool for you. I mean, I'm allowing you to not cause me to speak. I'm allowing them to come and put chains on me. I'm even laying on my side for 390 days and my other side for 40 days. God, I'm cooking my food with animal dung, God. I'm even doing all that. Now you want to come and cause my wife to die? God, I don't understand that. I mean, you can't tell me that wasn't going through his head. I guarantee it was. I mean, could you imagine God showing up and asking you to do something like that? God, I don't understand. But yet, you know what? God was more concerned about his obedience more than he was his understanding. Okay? And you know what? God was, let me tell you what God was more concerned about. God was more concerned about Israel as a whole than he was his prophet's comfort. Let that sink in for a minute. Okay? And let me just say this, Christian. God's more concerned about his work as a whole than he is any one of us and how comfortable we want to be in our lives. And we got to come down. Listen, this thing about serving God. Okay, it's easy to serve God when everything's going good. Okay, when life's clicking, I mean everything's right. It's easy to be on the Lord's side then. It's easy to serve God then. But what happens when it comes down to when it's not easy? When it comes down to things do start happening. I mean, there is real persecution that starts arising. It starts costing you something to be a Christian. We're gonna find out then whether or not how many people really love the Lord then. I'm going to tell you something, especially we as American Christians, we are so weak and soft, we have no idea. I mean, we get a flat tire and we think we're being persecuted. Oh, God, I can't believe you let my vehicle have a flat tire. I mean, I'm inconvenienced for an hour. I mean, we have not a clue, Christians. We don't, okay? And so, but listen, God is, and I'm not saying people don't go through hard things. I'm not downplaying things because I do understand people do go through hard things still. Okay, even, I mean, there's been hard things go through our own church here, okay? I'm not downplaying any of that stuff. But all I'm saying is this, when it comes down to it, God is more concerned about his work than he is our individual comforts, okay? And so we've got to decide, are we going to obey God whether we understand him or not? All right, 2 Corinthians, let me give you some encouragement here. Notice what it says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know what God says? And by the way, I wish I had time to break down that verse. There's so many important words in that verse and what it all means. But basically God is saying this, okay? One of these days, if you obey me, okay, and you get to heaven, and you see all the rewards, the glory of heaven, the hardest thing you went through on earth is going to seem but a light affliction. Because it works something better. It works something greater in our lives. Okay? But here's the thing. Here's the key to it. All right? Don't get your eyes on the temporal. Keep your eyes on the eternal. And let me just say this. I mean, do you not think that for all eternity, Ezekiel the prophet is going to be, God's going to award him and exalt him. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you think right now in heaven, Ezekiel is one bit upset about the things God asked him to do? I guarantee he's not. Okay? Now, I know when we're going through them, it's harder. Okay? It's easier to talk about these things when you're not right in the middle of it. Okay? But I'm just telling you this, Christian. Sometime in your life, we will be in the middle of it. And listen, you can't wait to then to decide what you're going to do. You've got to pre-decide before you get to that point what you're going to do. So my advice to you is this. Just decide you're going to obey the Lord. Okay? Just decide you're going to obey him. Whatever it is he asks us to do, decide you're going to obey him. Because let me just say this. He's wiser, he's smarter, and if we trust him, I promise you there will be no regrets. Amen? So let's learn from the life of Ezekiel and understand that one of God's greatest expectations for our lives is obedience. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for teaching us some things this morning through your word. God, thank you for Ezekiel's example. And Lord, sometimes when the going gets tough and Lord, we do want to start feeling sorry for ourselves, God, we can look at a man like Ezekiel who, God, did some things that the truth of the matter is you won't ask most people to go through, but you ask him to go through. And God, help us to be able to help us be willing to obey you in our lives. Now, bless our church, Lord. Bless our service to follow. And thank you, Lord, for all the good folk here, Lord. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity you've given me to teach this class, Lord, through the last few years. And God, I pray so you just bless us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.